Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, who are we to deserve your unfailing love? A love that never changes, a love that always remains, a love that we can always count on being there. We praise you, O God of heaven and earth, and we marvel at the beauty and wonder of your love for us. Lord, we pray that as the days come and go, that we make each day as if it were our last. Each day is one that you have numbered, a gift that you have given to us. Numbered because you want the most from us, and numbered because you deserve the most from us. Lord, we know you're watching us, and we want you to be pleased with us. Father, we pray for your people around the world, in a world full of strife, where brother turns against brother and sister against sister. We pray for peace. Pray for the people in Egypt and an end to the turmoil and death that has besieged that country. We pray for our country as well, as our leaders have given the great responsibility of leading not only our nation, but the world. We pray that they seek you for wisdom and for answers. And we pray, Lord, the country will go back to the Christian roots upon which it was founded. Lord, we also pray for our congregation. Lord, no matter how few or how many of us there are here today, we know that we are part of a greater body, an army of believers. And so, Lord, we pray for the many who are here, but also for the many who are at the retreat. Lord, we pray that their hearts have received your word, that the body has become even more unified. And we pray that their spirit remains thirsty for you in the days and weeks to come. We pray the same for all those who are here today, Lord, that as your message comes upon us, Lord, that it comes and it takes root in our heart and it stays with us as we go and leave this place. Lord, love us, lead us, and may our hearts, mind, and soul receive your word as Pastor Henry delivers it to us. Bless those words to our body. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Go to our scripture reading now. It comes from three places. It comes from Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, and two chapters in Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verses 7 through 10, and 11, verses 6 through 8. And you'll see it as it's displayed on the overhead. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 7. Go, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love, all the days your vain life that he has given you under the sun. Because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or wisdom, or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Now Ecclesiastes chapter 11. In the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. May God bless the reading of the word. You may be seated. And we welcome our senior pastor, Reverend Henry Chan, for his sermon entitled, Numbering Our Days Wisely.
Good morning. As you all know, that this weekend is English Congregation Retreat, so we have a few people here. And while I was standing there worshiping with you guys, I thought about something. For those who are at the retreat right now, surely they are experiencing something that is not very common in our regular Sunday. They are in a different place. We are with a guest speaker, and the room, the setting, everything is different. But then I think if you do have the heart of wisdom, you will appreciate that even though we're here in a place that we seem to be so used to now, there's something also fresh. Instead of having four or five people standing here with different instruments, we only have one brother. And I appreciate Will and Andy leading the worship today. God's presence be with us, and indeed He has been with us. When I officiate a wedding, it is customary for me to ask, at least for me, to ask the bride and groom a question. And I demand them answer the question satisfactory enough to me. Otherwise, I will not go on officiating the wedding. Now, this sounds like a threat. It is a threat. I don't intend to ask them some very stupid questions such as, Mr. So-and-so, are you willing to marry this woman? I mean, what do you expect, right? I'm standing there wanting to get married, and then you ask this stupid question. Are you expecting no? Of course, yes. So I ask a question that is, they don't know what I'm going to ask. Now, I do that because I do want to keep them on their toes. Because in my very limited pastoral experience, I found this unique behavior. I found that whenever a brother and sister, a Christian, who the pastor is trying to counsel, the pastor is trying to persuade, to teach them, you know, to try to teach them some biblical principle, the only occasion I found Christian very agreeable is during premarital counseling. I mean, they agree with almost anything the pastor said. They are the most agreeable Christian during the premarital counseling. Why? Because they just want to get it over with, so the pastor will get up one day and then, you know, say something, and then and a sermon that was only 10 minutes but seems 45 minutes long, and then sign on a piece of paper so they get married. But later on, after they get married, something happened. They come to the pastor, and the pastor will remind the husband, didn't you agree when I said this thing to you? Didn't you agree when I said to you that a real man is a man that will reach out to his wife when his wife is behaving very erratically, very unlovable? A real man reaches out to his wife when his wife is very unlovable. Didn't you agree? No, I don't remember you said that. So, I want to keep them on their toes, so I said, on the very first counseling session, I said, if you want me to officiate your wedding, I'm going to ask you some question. Out of all these counseling sessions for the next 4 or 5 months, and then if you don't answer them correctly, I'm going to walk out of the sanctuary. So I keep them on their toes, you know, oh my goodness, this pastor means business. So on one wedding, this is the question I ask. Not only I ask this question, I also demand answer within 30 seconds. Because this question is so easy. It's a no-brainer. I mean, it's impossible not be able to answer this question. Once I say that, you will agree with me. Because this is not something that I'm asking a fifth grade kid how to do calculus. This is not something to ask somebody, answer something he has no knowledge of. I asked the groom, I said, Harry, this is not a real name, but this is a real event. I said, a year ago today, 365 days ago, exactly today, name three important things you did on that day. And this groom looked at me with a pale face, began stuttering. I mean, right? I mean, he lived that particular day 365 days ago. I just asked him, name three significant things you did on that day. I mean, I said, 30 seconds.
I want you to finish the answer in 30 seconds. And he began stuttering. So I turned to the bride, to this beautiful woman, also very capable woman, 21st century lady, okay? This lady is very capable. She led short-term mission team more than a couple of times. So I said, okay, so and so, now is your time to fulfill your duty being made as a woman. Help him out. Then three things you did exactly 365 days ago today. Her face turned pale. And then I laughed. I said, okay, forget about it. You know, I said, all I want to do by asking this question is, Harry, 365 days later, if someone asks you, Harry, what is the significant thing you did 365 days ago? You better answer it, right? Otherwise, you're going to be in big trouble. So that was that. I used that as introduction to the short message for the wedding. But I also did it with a different purpose. I wasn't surprised that these two bride men and women with college degree, one with an advanced degree, was not able to answer that question. If I asked some of you to get up and say, name three important things you did 365 days ago today, you will probably look very stupid as well, not able to answer that. It's probably a common thing for every man and woman stutter, not able to recall what were the three significant things we did 365 days ago today. No wonder Psalm 90 is a psalm that Christians like. Even non-Christians, when somebody read Psalm 90 to a non-believer, something struck in their heart. Because this is, in a very short sentence, Moses is able to express this irony about our life. We'll let us read verse 12. Let me read a few verses earlier, verse 9 and 10. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life was 70. Or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. Then we leave. Then we are gone and we fly away. This seems to be the irony of every man and woman in the world. And it doesn't even have to take 70, 80 years old. It doesn't have to take 80 years when a woman and a man no longer able to do something physically that he used to do, and then he feel, oh my goodness, all my good days is gone. I mean, that young man and woman in that wedding, they were not even 30 years old. They were just about to turn 30. And then I asked them some question, 365 days ago today, name three significant things you did. He wasn't able to call it. It's not even 70 or 90. It's not even 30. And the irony is, sometimes certain things that's going to happen seems to be so critical, so urgent. I got to pass that test, man. I got to do this interview well. Otherwise, the world is going to crashing down. Otherwise, this is the end of my world. Things can be so urgent at a certain day. And then the irony is, 3 weeks later, you ask this man or woman who seems to be so anxious about that particular day, name three important things you did 3 weeks ago. He wouldn't be able to answer. But in the irony, Did you ever have that feeling? This day, I gotta do these things. Otherwise, there's no tomorrow. And then 2 months later, you can't even recall what you did in June 20. So, how do we number our days? How do we number our days? Now, I have to tell this. The reality is, that particular groom, out of nowhere, a pastor will ask such a meaningless question. Just to say something within 30 seconds, just to say anything. I will say, good answer. Trust me. If he simply says something, I will say, good answer. For example, if he said, oh Pastor Henry, I don't remember. All I remember is I wake up. Guess what? I'm going to say, great answer. Excellent. Why? I mean, isn't it important to wake up? I mean, there's husband and wife here, and there's some young folks here. Let me say this to you. Let me say this to the young folk. Try to imagine your folks having this conversation. Your father say to your mother, hey, tomorrow morning, whether you wake up or not, it is not important to me. Guess what's going to happen? Oh, yeah, waking up. I don't remember, Pastor, but I just remember I wake up. I will say, great answer, Harry. Great answer. Now, let's work on the second one.
He said, I don't remember. I brushed my teeth.
I said, excellent. I mean, just think about it. You guys, you know, you guys are great. You are a great congregation. I don't know whether you're sitting at your old seat or not. I don't know, okay? But I don't think so. But you guys have this, maybe the usher did a great job. Instead of scattered around, you know, actually most people are on these two sections. Some of them, you know, some seat that's actually 90% filled. Just think about it. Everybody don't brush your teeth and come to this church. Just think about it. We can't even say hello to people. I mean, you know, all the greetings, even in Mandarin, English, ni hao, hello, all ended with a syllable that is breathing out. Have you ever, you know, think about the greatest greeting in the Hebrew language, hallelujah, it's all breathing out. Think about it. We can't even greet each other if we don't brush our teeth. So if Harry said, Pastor, all I remember is I brushed my teeth, I said, great. You did something very significant. Harry, what about the third one? I forgot. I put on some clothes, then I went out. I said, oh my, you put on some clothes before you going out. Great. You did something very significant. You dressed.
You may think I'm joking, I'm not. All I want to say is this. We seem to want or believe that we are capable of remembering a day when a particular significant thing, extraordinary thing happened in that day worthy for me to remember. So Harry married Susie. So 365 days later, Harry got to remember that day because that's the day he married Susie. We seem to think that a day is only worth remembering when something extraordinary happened. But I would like to turn it around. It is not the extraordinary event makes a day memorable. It is a day that makes every ordinary things extraordinary. It is because I possess this day. It is because I remember I woke up, that everything followed on that day
actually become meaningful and extraordinary. This is how you begin counting your days. This is how we begin numbering our days wisely. That is why in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 7, light is sweet and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Remember that, particularly brothers and sisters that have to go to work. Whether you work for AT&T or Merck or Prudential or whatever, think about Monday morning. You open your eyes. How many men and women in today's life wake up and say, oh my goodness, I'm going to work. Light is sweet. Hallelujah. How many of us picture the face of our boss? You walk into the office, he or she has that face right in front of you, stuffed in front of your face, able to wake up and say, light is sweet, and it is pleasant for my eyes to see the sun. That is the heart of wisdom. That is what Moses is trying to say to the reader of Psalm 90. This is how you begin numbering your days. Because today is a precious gift that God is gifting us right now. Today is a precious gift that God is gifting men and women right now. Do you wish God to be favorable to you? Do you hope that God reveal His graciousness to you? Do you desire to know that, yes, this mighty Creator, He is gracious to me. He is kind and merciful to me. If you desire that, if you hope that, if you wish that, all you have to do is wake up in the morning. And that's it. There it is. His grace, His mercy, His favor, right in front of your eyes. Today is a precious gift that God is gifting us right now. That's why in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 7, you read this. Go, eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Now, this English translation, ESV, is clear enough already. But if you let me read the NIV, the meaning is even more obvious. NIV says this, go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with gladness. For it is now that God favors what you do. I want to say this because the Chinese version, the He-He-Ben, the Chinese translation of this particular verse, can be taken in a different way. It can be taken as, after God has approved what you do, you are a righteous man or woman. Now you can go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with gladness. Then the Chinese verses does have that vagueness. But the NIV and ESV has no such meaning at all. It is very clearly that because it is now that God favors what you do. Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with gladness. Now this is something that men and women don't really experience in this world. As a high school kid, as a junior high kid, your parents will say to you, yeah, now you can go play that computer game because you already done your homework. It's after you have finished doing something your parents approve, now Have fun. Go, enjoy. But the Bible verse isn't like that. It's saying that because it is now. It is this very moment that God favors what I do.
I can go eat my bread with joy and drink with gladness.
Today is a precious gift that God is gifting us right now. But then, this is the second point. Today is the only moment that we may treasure this gift of today. You see, this is an interesting thing. Today is a precious gift that God is gifting me right now. But then, I also need to understand today is also the only moment I can enjoy and treasure this gift of today. The gift of today is very, very unique. You can only use that today. You cannot save it. Because once it passed 11:55 p.m., today is gone. Today is no more. That particular gift, that precious gift that God so favorably bestowing on me is gone. If you allow me, I would like to say this. In the Old Testament time, Jewish people, they seem to enjoy so many extraordinary work of Yahweh. Particularly, there's one thing that they enjoy for 40 years. It is by that gift that they were fed in the 40 years wandering in the desert. Some of you know the answer. It is the manna from heaven. Every morning, Yahweh produced manna from heaven for the Israelites to eat, to sustain their life, so they can go on. All they have to do is wake up, and it's there. Outside the camp, surrounding them, is this precious gift. But manna is also interesting. The Bible said, Yahweh made it very clear. Pick what you're going to eat. It's like those all-you-can-eat buffet, right? You go there, they say what? Only take the food that you're going to eat. I sometimes wonder they've written that for Chinese or not. Pick what you're going to eat. Because if you try to save some of them, next morning, guess what? Perished. No longer edible. Today is like that. This precious gift of today is like that. I can only treasure, I can only enjoy this precious gift of today, today. If you desire God's grace, if you desire His favor, and if you want to cherish that, treasure that, this is it. Today is the only moment that we may treasure this gift of today. There's no way for me to treasure someday last year. I can no longer call that treasure. I can only call that memory. I may want to go back and relive that particular day because that day seems to be so good. Everything seems to be so happy. But I can't. I cannot relive all the events, all the occasions of that particular day because the opportunity for me to treasure that day is gone. On the other hand, there's no way for me to treasure a particular day 3 weeks from now. The best I can say is anticipation. I cannot call that treasure.
Because even though I may want to anticipate, even though I may do everything possible for me to wait for that day, I have to wait until God hands me that particular gift of today on that day for me to treasure. No matter how sincere I anticipate. How do I know I may live to that day? Therefore, sometimes you see men and women trying to live in their past. And then you see men and women trying to live for the vacation 3 months from now. And they don't treasure that precious gift that is right in front of them. This is wisdom. This is indeed wisdom. So, in the New Testament time, you will read this. This is in Ephesians. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. This is Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. He said, be careful about how you walk. Don't walk like unwise men and women. Walk like wise people. How? Make the best use of the time. Make the best use of today. Make the best use of this precious gift that God is gifting me right now. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 9, enjoy life with the wife whom you love, all the days of your vain life that he has given you unto the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love. I think one problem with marriage is no man and woman will ever walk into marriage if they don't feel they love each other. The sad thing is that particular verb can become a past tense. But the Bible said it clearly. If you have that wisdom, make the best use of your time of today. A man or a woman who knows how to treasure the gift of today, he will then treasure everything encountered, he or she encountered. A man who knows light is sweet. It is good for me. It is good for me, for my eye to see the sun. He will begin to learn to appreciate all the occasions that he or she is going to encounter that day. In other words, it's not the circumstance making him looking back for the day saying, my goodness, I had roughly a pretty good day. It is this understanding of today is a precious gift that God is gifting me right now. And today is my only opportunity to treasure this gift of today. Will affect his attitude and her attitude to the things happen afterward. Circumstances do not really make people appreciative. Circumstances do not actually make a man or woman wise. I was in Germany 1 year. That was during my sabbatical year as a pastor here, that I responded to an invitation of a Chinese church in West Germany to help them to pastor that church for 1 year. When I went, the division between West Germany and East Germany was already history. It was resolved. It was resolved under the great leadership of Reagan. And then after the Berlin Wall fell down, West Germany spent hundreds of billions of dollars to rebuild East Germany. West Germany look at their East Germany brother and sister, and then they say, we got to help. So they spend hundreds, billions of dollars to pump in East Germany, to repair the road, to fix the bridges, either shutting down those factories that is very polluting, or putting in huge money to rebuild those factories. Because if they just shut down, East Germany people will lose their job. So they hire these people to rebuild. And you should know that rebuild something is even more costly than building from scratch. They spend hundreds of billions of dollars rebuild East Germany. And by the time I spend my 1 year in Germany, the East portion has improved tremendously in terms of quality of life. People in West Germany told me, when the West Germany government decided to spend hundreds of billions of dollars, no question asked, to rebuild East Germany, everyone, every citizen in West Germany knew what that meant. This German engineer told me, he said, this particular pumping money to East Germany at least set back our nation's ability to compete in the international world 10 years. It hurt our West Germany, this financial power, set back us at least 10 years. And do you know what I saw? On the TV, which I really didn't know what's going on. I mean, you know, all those TV stations. The only thing I can watch when I was in Germany is CNN 1 hour a day. Because in 1 hour a day, they have English program. Otherwise, everything's in German. And then one time, I look at this picture with people, you know, going on the street, parading, you know, shouting with signs. And it's very quite frequent in Germany, in Europe. And then I look at this huge sign. They have several signs with the same word, which at that time I didn't have the vocabulary to understand. Nostalgia. Says, oh, what is nostalgia? So I went back and I look at the dictionary. Guess what? Nostalgia means that the East Germany resident is complaining. They are complaining. They say, we wish we have gone back to the old day. We wish that we have gone back to this dictatorship government 10, 15, 20 years ago. Here you go. Their countrymen pumping so much hard money they earn in order to help rebuild the Eastern Bloc. And then now they complain. Their bridge has been repaired. Their house has been rebuilt. Their factory is now, not making bad air. Their factory is now blowing up without no reason now. And they say, nostalgia, nostalgia, nostalgia. This is not a heart of wisdom. This is not counting, numbering your days wisely. Well, luckily, when there are people who do not appreciate the things happen to them today, there is heart of wisdom in some humanity. I don't know if you remember the event last year, not exactly 12 months ago, in October. There was a great what? Hurricane Sandy. Remember that? That Sandy really blew us, into this chaos. That was perhaps even the most severe hurricane in the recorded history. No electricity, no heat, no telephone, no computer, and the worst part is no gasoline. I remember talking to some brother in this church. He left the house 7 o'clock in the morning to try to get gasoline. Didn't come home until noontime because the gas station lined up 5-6 blocks and it required police to guard, you know, to direct the traffic. And this brother was so mad because by the time he got to the pump, the operator said he brought down a gasoline, you know, can, because he wants to have gasoline to run the generator at home. And the operator said, "Tell me what you want, in your car or in the can. I only give you one. I will not give you both." And this brother said, why? And the guy said, "Turn around and look. There's a hundred of a car behind you. They need gas as well." So this brother was so upset, spending almost 5 hours outside and able to get maybe 5 or 10 gallons. That's it. All the good things happen in our life. All this convenience that, you know, we're so used to, totally ripped out from us. And then after the whole thing was gone, I read an email written by a brother in this church in Chinese. Let me paraphrase. This is what he said. "We were so used to spend the evening in separate rooms with computer to each other, to each person. We just busy doing our things. And now we are talking to each other all the day. We cook together every meal. We go out together. And then after meal, we light up the candle and we play chess. Life is wonderful." See that? No electricity, no heat, no power, no gasoline. Now they cook together. Why? Because all those food in the refrigerator, they're going to go bad soon. And for Chinese, at least for Chinese parents, throwing food away, it's 11th commandment. So we got to cook. We got to finish cooking them. So now we cook every day together. And then after the meal, we light up the candle. We play chess. Wow. Romantic. I mean, do you know, if you go to any restaurant, as long as there's candle on the table, you have to pay at least $10 more for that. Do you know that? $10 just because they have candle on the table. And now everything's free. We play chess. Numbering your days wisely. And then the last point. Today is not only the precious gift God is gifting me now. Today is the only moment that I can treasure this gift of today. Today is also the opportunity for me to be diligent, to be the best I can be. In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your mind, for there's no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Today is the only opportunity that I can be diligent, to be the best I can be. So the biblical writer said, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. I might have very, very good yesterday. I might have very, very good result for all the life that I had before yesterday. But today, it is still the opportunity I need to grasp. I use the word diligent because this is the way a Christian is accountable to his Creator. So for you young folk, let me say this. I do want you to get the best grade you can get. Not because your parents want them. Not because the Ivy League need them. Because you owe it. You owe to be the best you can be to God. Even when yesterday was bad, today is still the opportunity for me to be the best I can be. 2012 London Olympic. I love watching Olympic. Do you know why? Because I'm a Chinese living in America. So when I look at this nation's, you know, result, I'm happy. Either I look at this, I say, wow, American is getting another gold medal. And I look at my American passport. I'm an American citizen. Oh, when I look at China, not Taiwan, Taiwan, you know, but for this part, I'm gonna, Taiwan is, oh, I don't even know how to say that. I'm from Taiwan, but anyway. When China getting gold medal, I don't look at my passport. I walk into the bathroom, I look into my mirror. I say, here is a Chinese man living in America. I mean, look at what USA and China, the gold medal, the silver medal, the bronze medal. I mean, you need to combine them. Nobody can compete with that, right? So being a Chinese American, I was so happy watching it. Only when, guess what? When China is fighting with America for gold medal, I was sitting there, don't know what to do. I don't know which one to root for. And then for the men, 10-meter platform diving event. The China athlete, his name is Bo Chou Bo. The American athlete, his name is David Bodaya. The China athlete, Bo Chou, or Chou Bo in the way Chinese. And this guy is Bodaya, he's Bo Chou, so it, you know, it's... But the Chinese man is much more beautiful. Chou Bo meaning autumn wave, right? Autumn wave. I mean, autumn is a peace, relative peaceful nation. You go to a lake, you look at the lake, you know, like a mirror. I mean, this guy, Bo Chou, is indeed. Every time he enters into the water, there's only this autumn wave. But for David Bodaya, at least for the first two rounds, when he enters the water, it's like atomic bomb going into the swimming pool. Boom, boom, boom. Seriously. On the second round, Bodaya finished 18th. Do you know how many they take into the final round? 18 people. He finished 18. And it took him the last dive to go from 19 to 18. So now Bodaya is in. But Bo Chou, being the number one with the score higher than the number two by so many points. And then I watched this thing, the American reporter rush to Bodaya and shuffle the microphone in front of his face. David, you finished last. How do you feel? I love American. They shuffle their microphone to their own athlete and say, you finished last. How do you feel, David? And this is something that I would never forget. Bodaya with embarrassment all over his face and said only one sentence. I guess there is only one possible direction for me now. Up. When I hear that, I start laughing. I say, what are you talking about? You finished last in the second round. And then you have this optimistic say, I guess there's only one possible direction for me now. Up. But guess what? He is what? He's right. He's finished last. So guess what? The worst he's going to do is stay last. So there's only one possible direction, up. I laughed. Next day was the final round. Do you know who got the gold medal? Do you know who got gold medal of 10-meter men's platform diving? David Bodaya. Yeah. I did lousy so far. I did so bad so far. But light is sweet. it is good for my eye to see the sun. So he woke up, he dived as the best he can be. After that, I saw some website on internet describing Bodhaya as a Christian. Now, I have to say this. Sometimes Christian church is a little bit shameful. We always want to take credit when somebody is a Christian and then, you know, made it. But this is the wisdom. Today is the opportunity for me to be the best I can be. That is how a Christian, a man of God, a woman of God, number their days. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for gifting us this precious gift of today. Teach us how to treasure today, this precious gift of today. And inspire us to be the best we can be today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.